Tov, we're doing Beitza. We're up to the second chapter, the eighth Mishnah. Shalosha dvarim Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Matir Chachamim Osrim. We know the great sage of Elazar ben Azariah, 10 generations from Ezra, the Sofer, the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is himself a Kohen, obviously. He's a great grandson of Ezra. So there are three things in which he would be lenient, he would permit, and the rabbis would prohibit. You want me to find it? We're in Beitza, tractate Beitza, the second chapter, the eighth Mishnah. You got it, Ephraim?
What though?
You want me to find it?
In the Tani, Tani, Pankos, Mishnah, Beitza.
Okay.
Perak
Bet Mishnah Chet.
The more you
learn, the more you'll remember. Especially if we keep reviewing them. Parato Yotzav Yotzuashe Ben Kalneha. When you encounter it in the Talmud, then it comes to life. Not the first time, but the eighth or tenth time. I'm serious. Yeah. The first time you barely understand what he's saying.
It's not through drawing graphs.
Slowly.
And,
Slowly. Parato Yotzav Yotzuashe Ben Kalneha. Gentlemen, this Mishnah is critical. If learned well, you'll have a lot of knowledge about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rav Elazar ben Azariah had a cow, and his cow had a ritzua, a nice red ribbon through its horns for beauty. And he let it go out that way on Shabbos. And the rabbis prohibited that. They said that's unnecessary. We do not allow anything that's a shmirah yetera, extra watching for the animal. Whatever you need to keep the animal in line, okay. That's part of its garments, that's part of what it wears. But whatever's beyond that is prohibited. And anything that's just for beauty, you don't let it carry around either.
It's not called shmirah yetera?
No.
It's not shmirah?
It's noi. So the rabbis hold both are prohibited, shmirah yetera and noi. So this is noi, this is just beauty. Umekardin et habeima biyom tov. Oh, what is mekardin? They had this brush with metal spokes that they used to brush the animal's hair with. Now, the animal enjoyed it because the animal would have all kinds of ticks biting it and it would scratch well. But sometimes it would also wound the animal because you brush an animal with a brush with metal teeth, so then sometimes
today.
What?
I
have the same thing today. Okay, I didn't know.
Dog
brushes, so they like it, but sometimes it causes them to bleed. So, mikardin here is like migardin, the sounds that come from the same source. G, k, h, y, they all come from the back of the throat. They're all guttural sounds. They are sometimes interchangeable, the gimel and the kuf and the kaf. So, the idea here is it a psik resha or not? Meaning, how definite is it that you will make a wound as you comb it? So, let's see. Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds, you're allowed to brush it. V'shochakin et ha-pilpleim b'rechaim shelahim. And they had small, little mills, small things to grind the pepper in, whatever pilpulin is, probably not pepper, but we'll say pepper, who knows what it is. So they'd let him grind it the way they ordinarily would. We say that you can't do that on Yom Tov because it looks like you're grinding like a weekday. That's uvdin dechol. And uvdin dechol is a term that's very hard to put your finger on. The rabbi said there are certain things you shouldn't do because it looks like a weekday thing to do. So how do you define what's prohibited and what's not? You don't let your mill run. No, that's something else. That's optional.
As
opposed
to it being just preparation for...
The issue is you're going to use it on Yom Tov. The rabbi said, okay, grind it in an unusual way. Do it with a shinui. Do it different than you do on a weekday. Don't have it look like you're doing things the way you would on weekdays. So, some brushes are problematic because they pull out here. This brush didn't necessarily pull out here. The question here was whether it was definite that it would cause a wound or not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Mekaldin Et HaBeima B'Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't scratch it with the metal brush Mipnei Shoseh Chabura, because there you're going to wound it. Aval Mekaltzefin, but you could use a wooden brush to comb the animal. V'chachamim Omrim Ein Mekaldin Af Lo Mekaltzefin. The rabbi say you can't do either one.
So yeah. The combing, there's a little debate.
Yeah. Now,
where's another two? Is this the Chachamim?
Mekardin. So here we go with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. And we, throughout Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have an argument where Rabbi Shimon is more lenient than Moksa and Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent. And in many areas of Shabbos, we find Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in disagreement. So, Rabbi Shimon says, "Davar shein miskavein mutar." You comb that animal, you don't mean to cause any wounds, and it is not necessarily going to happen. When you use a wooden brush, overall, you brush 15 times, well, you might find it gets wounded after 50 brushes. But on every single time you brush, it's not definite that you're going to cause a wound. With a metal brush, so there the likelihood is so high that Chachamim say that's already a psik resha. That's like you cut off the chicken's head, of course it's going to die. It didn't die yet, the head is still... right, okay, but it's going to die, right? Yeah?
I'm troubled by this definition of psik resha. I haven't understood psik resha today.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Psik resha is psik resha. It's something that is bound to happen.
Oh.
100%.
So the question is, what percentage do you need on a specific move that this second it's going to happen to call it a psik resha?
You were saying ifamim, right? We understood that combing the ifamim you get the injury. Psik resha, you cut the chicken's head in order to use it for something else. There's no other option.
Right. So, psik resha means it's going to happen. The question is at which second and how definitive. That's why this Mishnah is so critical. Because this Mishnah is where we have a discussion about how you define it. And it's going to be relevant to opening an oven on Shabbos with a thermostat. Opening a refrigerator on Shabbos with the thermostat on. Opening the window to your house on Shabbos when the air conditioner or the heater's on with the thermostat. How definitive does it have to be? You open the window, you know eventually the thermostat's going to go off because of that. Well, how direct does it have to be, the causality of your action? Yeah? So that's, here you see the Mishnah that's key to this sugiyah. Mishnah Tet, Harei Chayim Shel Piltlin, this machine they used to use to grind their pilpel, which was something maybe like pepper. Tzma Mishum Shlosha Kerim. It is comprised of three vessels that can become tamei.
Kelim can become tamei?
Correct. So this rechaim is comprised of three vessels. Mishum klikibul, because the bottom where you grind it and the powder goes down, that's like a cup, that's a klikibul. Umishum kli matchot. And the top part, which you use to grind it, is made of metal. So metal vessels become tamei even more than any other vessel. Umishum klei kvara, and the middle vessel is klei kvara. It's like a sift. It's the middle vessel which through which the item that's sifted goes through. So those are the three types of vessels which comprise the rechaim, and they become tamei. And we'll make a run for finishing the chapter. Yeah. Mishnah Yud Agala Shel Katan. And you have a baby carriage that the baby plays on. He sits on it, and it's a toy for him, right? So. When a child's learning how to walk, he has like this little carriage that he pushes around as he learns to walk. Tmei midrash, that can become defiled if it is leaned on, and this minor is a zav, if he has a flow, you know, even a child, even a baby girl, there was a girl, sometimes girls from the hormones of delivery, the first day they're born, they could have like a miniature period. A baby girl could have a little bit of blood. it's not like she's flowing blood, but it's not like she's menstruating. But a little bit of blood could come out into her diaper, and you could see that it's coming from the same place, and that's something which can happen with a girl. And the Gemara says that a girl from day one can become tamei ziva, and a boy also, a child, can become a zav. He can have a flow and be tamei. So if he leans on this carriage, he can make it tamei. Vinitelet b'Shabbat. You can carry it around on Shabbos. It's not mukze. It has the name. It's like a vessel. And on Shabbos, you can't drag it around unless you're dragging it on clothing, because by dragging it around, you're going to make a furrow. So,
what?
A furrow. When you drag it around, the wheels, they like plow through the earth as you drag it around.
No,
and that's something that will...
But what about like doing like a sidewalk?
On a sidewalk, it's okay, right? On a sidewalk, it'll be okay.
Cover?
Rabbi Yehuda Omer... Kol hakelim ein nigrarin chutz min ha'agala mipnei she'i koveshet. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dover shein miskavein, like Yosef said correctly, when you drag a bench and it's making a furrow, Dover shein miskavein osur. Rabbi Yehuda holds it is prohibited. And Rabbi Yehuda says, nonetheless, here, it's not that it's plowing, it's that as it turns, it pushes down the earth. That's not called plowing. It's not really moving the earth. The earth gets settled down under its weight. It's not like a plow that pulls the earth and digs a furrow through the earth. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, in general, you wouldn't be able to drag any bench or chair through the earth, because then you are making a furrow. But you could take this baby carriage, because as the wheels turn, it's not really plowing. It's just... just pushing down the earth as the wheels turn on it, like when you walk.
So we hold today la'alachanase partly. It's pressing in the ground rather than making a furrow. But even with a chair and a table, you don't have kavanah.
So we don't go with Rabbi Yehuda, but that deserves a class unto itself. But the Lashem Mitkavin. We have a class in the Laws of Shabbos. Yes.
In the morning.